You are not what we expect, O God. Victory without a sword, windstorms calmed with simple words, sleepless nights rewarded. Help us put our trust in you, unexpected God. Good morning. Welcome back to the North. Next Sunday, we will not be worshiping here. We will be worshiping at Witwen, Camp Witwen's, the 100th year of worship at the Tabernacle. Concordia, Black Hawk, and Denzer will be worshiping together at 10:30. What time are, where are we worshiping next Sunday? What time? Okay. Also, if anyone is interested in going to the seminar on breakthrough prayer, I can still register. Anyone who'd like to do that, I can still register you. And early on, I misspoke when I said it was $70 for however many. It's free. It's totally free. So the more that can go, or the more we will receive. Note in the bulletin, the community meal this afternoon, and the stewardship committee is going to be meeting at Barb's on Tuesday evening. And if anyone would like to be a part of that group that plans our stewardship education each year, please know that you are welcome. There's a lot of work, and we can use more people in the field. So, are there other announcements this morning? Okay. Will you then turn to the bulletin, and we will be praising and singing the first verse of God Is So Good, 2056. In the midst of life's storms, God is there. When the waves of doubt threaten us, God cares for me. God cares for me. God in the darkness and terror, God is with us. When fears seem to swamp our lives, awake, God is here. Rise up, people of God, for you are loved and saved. Get ready, there is much to be done. Amen. And turn to number 2146 in the black hymnal, His Eye Is on the Sparrow. Thank you. Let us pray together. Saving God, in Jesus Christ, you show us the breadth of your power and the depth of your love. You listen to our cries of pain and hear our laments. You see the fear in our eyes and know the secrets of our hearts. You do not turn from our distress, but stretch out your hand to heal, to comfort, and to save. Help us to trust in the abundance of your love as we share your compassion and generosity wherever we may go, with you, in Christ, and through the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. From 2 Corinthians today, chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. If you're following along in the Pew Bibles, it's number 170 in the New Testament. So then, from this point on, we don't recognize people by human standards. Even though we used to know Christ by human standards, that isn't how we know him now. So then, if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of the new creation. The old things have gone away, and look, the new things have arrived. All these new things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God was reconciling the word to himself through Christ by not counting people's sins against them. He has trusted us with this message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors who represent Christ. God is negotiating with you through us. We beg you, as Christ representatives, be reconciled to God. God caused the one who didn't know sin to be sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God. Since we work together with him, we are also begging you not to receive the grace of God in vain. He says, "I listened to you at the right time, and I helped you on the day of salvation. Look, now is the right time. Look, this day is the day of salvation."
Today. charm, but detective inward harm. People often see you as you are outside. Jesus really knows you. Your heart, is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today.
Thank you. The gospel today is one that's very familiar to us. It's one that we grow up hearing as a story that's read to children. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. Later that day, when evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." They left the crowd and took him in a boat just as he was. Other boats followed along. Gale-force winds arose and waves crashed against the boat so that the boat was swamped. But Jesus was in the rear of the boat, sleeping on a pillow. They woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're drowning?" He got up and gave orders to the wind, and he said to the lake, "Silence, be still." The wind settled down, and there was a great calm. Jesus asked them, "Why are you frightened? Don't you have faith yet?" Overcome with awe, they said to each other, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." And then I continued on. This is not part of the lectionary, but it's suggested that this next part of this part is really part of the same story, the next passage. Jesus and his disciples came to the other side of the lake, to the region of the Gerasenes. As soon as Jesus got out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out of the tombs. This man lived among the tombs, and no one was ever strong enough to restrain him, even with a chain. He had been secured many times with leg irons and chains, but he broke the chains and smashed the leg irons. No one was tough enough to control him. Night and day, in the tombs and the hills, he would howl and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from far away, he ran and knelt before him, shouting, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." He said this because Jesus had already commanded him, "Unclean spirit, come out of that man." Jesus said, "What is your name?" He responded, "Legion is my name, because we are many." They pleaded with Jesus not to send some of them out of that region. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside. "Send us into the pigs," they begged. "Let us go into the pigs." Jesus gave them permission, so the unclean spirits left the man and went into the pigs. Then the herd of about 2,000 pigs rushed down the cliff and into the lake and drowned. Those who tended the pigs ran away and told the story in the city and in the countryside. People came to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the man who used to be demon-possessed. They saw the very man who had been filled with many demons sitting there fully dressed and completely sane, and they were filled with awe. Those who had actually seen what had happened to the demon-possessed pigs, to the demon-possessed man, told the others about the pigs. Then they pleaded with Jesus to leave their region. While he was climbing into the boat, the one who had been demon-possessed pleaded with Jesus to let him come along as one of his disciples. But Jesus wouldn't allow it. "Go home to your own people," Jesus said, "and tell them what the Lord has done for you and how he has shown you mercy." The man went away and began to proclaim in the 10 cities all that Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. Jesus gives peace. Will you stand and share that peace with those who are around you this morning? Let us share signs of the peace in the name of the one we know who gives it to us. And with you also. Peace be with you. Thank you. Peace be with you. And peace be with you. Peace be with you. I know that Gordon did not preach from the lectionary last week. So if you were here, you didn't hear what precedes the scripture for today. What happened in the scripture that precedes today's reading is that Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of heaven. He was talking about how the seed grows secretly, and the kingdom is hidden and in secret, but the kingdom is coming. The seed has been cast on soil that is fruitful. The ability to hear and understand the parables of the kingdom point us to the kingdom, and it suggested that it takes a special gift of hearing to understand. And we might see this when Jesus would talk about, would tell a parable, and then when he was alone with the disciples, he would tell them what that kingdom means. This week, we hear that the kingdom is coming, and it will be known by all who are ready for it, but it's not without its own dangers and risks. In this story today, Jesus is a miracle worker. It certainly would have been a miracle for the storm to be calmed in the way that it was. The disciples were frightened for their life. And Jesus was certainly a miracle worker when he went to the other side of the lake, to the Gerasenes. The scripture tells us that the disciples took Jesus in the boat just as he was, and took a nap. I would imagine that at the end of the day, Jesus was tired and needed some rest. Very often, you know, when Jesus finishes a long day of ministry, he goes away to a place by himself and he prays and he gets the rest. This time he went just immediately and was going to the other side of the lake. I don't know if you've heard of Walter Kimbrough. He was a charismatic Methodist preacher. And one time he was preaching on this passage of scripture talking about the lake, or crossing the lake, and the disciples waking him up and scaring him. And I'm not going to do it, but what Walter Kimbrough did was he went among the congregation just as I am now, and he grabbed someone by the shirt, pulled him up and said, "Don't you care that we're drowning? Don't you care that we're going to perish?" And William Kimbrough was able to do that among his congregation. I don't think you would like it if I did it, so I'm not going to. But you get the picture. "Don't you care, Jesus?" And Jesus doesn't answer the question. Jesus just wakes up and says, "Silence, be still." And I can't help but think, even as the storm was silenced and the storm became still, Jesus might have been saying the same thing to the disciples. There's a series of questions here, and none of the questions really get answered. "Don't you yet have faith?" Jesus asked. He'd spent the day. He had explained the parable to them. And they are human like us, so they get caught up in the peril of the moment. And doesn't that happen to us as well? Jesus reminds us that he has the authority and he has the power over evil in this world. He's got authority over the storm. In the beginning, the Bible tells us, in the beginning, when there was nothing but chaos, God created. And this account on the sea reminds us that when there's chaos, Jesus creates that which is not chaotic. But we're human. My son sent me a text this week, and the text said, "Mom, I really hate to tell you this by text, but Dad had a heart attack today." And my heart grabbed within me in a way that it hasn't for a long time. He's right. It was not a good way to tell me that. I was getting ready for the Bible study. And I thought, well, they're on their way to La Crosse. Maybe I should go to La Crosse too. I haven't been married to this man for 15 or 16, I don't know how many years. But he is my children's father. And I wanted to be there for him, for them. I had been working with this passage throughout the week. So I was my human self for a while, filled with some fear. But I didn't have to stay there long, because I know that whatever happens to those who love Jesus, it's going to be all right. It may not be easy. It may not be what we planned for. But whatever happens, we are with Jesus. Sometimes we can go to that place quickly. Other times, life comes in on us and scares us and gives us doubts, and it takes us longer. But we are like those disciples. Annual conference this year was a kind of a series of ups and downs. It began for, as it does every year for clergy, with the executive session. And we listened some about this process that's going to happen in February of 2019 with a decision, asking our delegates to make a decision about whether we are going to be inclusive of all people or whether we are going to continue as we are now. And it breaks my heart to think that this church that we love may split over the question of LGBTQ people. I have to trust that whatever happens, we will be okay with God. If there are changes made, it is going to impact local congregations. If there are changes made and we become welcoming of all people, then each church and each pastor is going to have to make a decision about where we come down. So it is something that's going to affect all of us. It's one of those storms, and the storm has been brewing since 1974. So it's time for us to see if, to trust that God will calm this storm. We have storms that rage within us, sometimes of our own making, sometimes that come from outside. And it doesn't matter whether they are worldly storms or church storms or individual storms. God has the power. And that's what the story of this calming the storm tells us. And then, immediately following that, is the story of one who had that raging within him. It was very personal for him to have that legion, that army of demons within him, and that he had no control. And I don't know, I've never got into a physical fight with anyone, like brothers and sisters when we're little, but that doesn't really count. I've never gotten into a physical fight with someone, but I think it probably wouldn't be very hard for someone just to go bonk on my head and I would go down. But this man didn't go down, and it wasn't bonking on the head. They could not restrain him. That's how strong those demons had a hold of him. The strongest thing they had could not control him. And before he even acknowledged who Jesus was, Jesus said, "Be still, be gone." And they were. And there's kind of a joke in this, in them, in those demons going into the pigs, because I think many of us know that Jewish people don't eat pork. So for Jesus to have cast those demons into the pigs and then into the water where they drowned would have seemed right for the Jewish people hearing that story. Better than doing it to sheep. The sheep had value for them. This story is important, because we have voices within us. And sometimes it's sorrow and grief. And sometimes that sorrow and grief seem insurmountable. Sometimes it's an injustice that has been done, or a hurt that has been done, and we hold on to it. And it can become a whole other animal. And Jesus can free us from that. And sometimes we see injustice, we see pain being caused others. And it causes us pain because of what it's doing to others. And Jesus can free us from that as well. But what we have seen this past week is that Jesus frees us from that in the right thing being done. We ask sometimes, "Don't you care if we perish?" And Jesus speaks. The scripture today tells us, the scripture today answers the question, "Don't you care?" And the answer is yes. God does care about that which binds us. Yes, God does care that we would be free. And not only does God care, God gives us that freedom. If you need that today, hear the word of God. Through Jesus Christ, God gives that to us. Amen. We know how generous God is. And we respond with the same generosity. We can never be as generous as God is, but we respond. I invite the ushers to come to receive our offerings. Come. you each. Let us pray together. Holy God, who hears our prayers and answers them and gives us more than we can ask or imagine, accept these offerings. Thank you for giving us a joy for generosity and a genuine love for those who are in need. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts and upon our lives, that together we may bring healing and hope to the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And let me share with you a couple of joys among us. One is Lou and Jane celebrated their 50th anniversary this week, 50 years of marriage. They've got some wisdom for us. Also, we celebrate that Sue Evans and Irene DeVoe and the Carncrosses are at a grandparent-grandchild retreat, a camping retreat this weekend, and pray that it's a sacred time for them. Let me share with you that Bob Barr is getting stronger. He is doing well, and maybe a couple weeks might be home. Halsey Sprecher has been moved to hospice in Baraboo, and his life is waning. Bill Blackman is in the hospital yet. He's been there a week, unless he came home yesterday, and is coming home on hospice. Larry Hinyup was in the hospital in the past week and is dealing with congestive heart failure. And Kevin Emshoff's father, Fred, passed away, and I think it was suddenly. And so we want to keep that family in our prayers. Are there others? Let us pray. Lord of wind and water, God of calmness and peace, be with each one of us this day. Calm our fears when we face uncertain futures. Help us to let go of the control that we like to hold on to. And help us to trust in you. Remind us, as your disciples, to continue to work for good. Continue to remind us of the many blessings that we have and to be grateful for them. When waves and torrents threaten us, help us again to turn to you, remembering your saving mercies and your love, and that you do care. Give us courage to become disciples who can calm the seas of doubt and anger, disciples who can bring hope and peace into our world. We have named before you the situations for which we celebrate. We have named before you the people who need healing and help. Remind us again and remind them that you are with each person and situation, and you're offering your love and your mercy, and that you offer that same through us and our caring. For the goodness that you have poured out on us, we offer you our prayer. And we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you turn to hymn number 3101 in the green hymnal, Love Lifted Me. Please stand. God, our guardian and Savior, protect you. Christ the healer, restore you, and the Holy Spirit sustain you this day and always. As the Lord has given you such peace and healing, now go into the world offering God's love and God's hope to others. Go in peace and remember God's love which goes with you. Amen. Thank you.